Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with you once again by the gracious will of the Lord. And it is my joy to look to the scripture with you once again this Lord's Day morning. May the Lord bless you in his wonderful grace, dear friend. Praise God. Today, by the will of the Lord, we are continuing in Ephesians chapter 6 in verses 1 through 4. Last Lord's Day, we looked at verses 1 through 3 and made general comments and a few specific comments about these verses. And we'll continue today. We'll probably end up this section of verses. We'll probably finish our comments upon verse 4 today. Praise God. I'm a missionary with Mission East Africa, Uganda. My friends, our contact number is 0782-652-143. And you can learn more about our ministry at www.missionafricajk.net. Praise God. Hear the word of the Lord, Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Praise God. Let me share with you as we begin this morning the thoughts of Christian writers regarding the Christian family. The family is the oldest and most basic of human institutions. In both the Israelite culture of the Old Testament and the Hellenistic culture of the New Testament, the household might consist of parents and children, relatives from several generations, servants, and even friends, depending on the economic resources of the head of the family. The Bible stresses its importance as a spiritual unit and a training ground for mature adult character. The Bible pictures a clear authority structure within the family, whereby the husband is to lead his wife and the parents are to lead the children. But just as all leadership should be a form of ministry rather than tyranny, so these domestic leadership roles must be fulfilled in love. Colossians 3, 18 through 21, 1 Peter 3, 1 through 7. The fourth commandment requires the head of the household to lead his whole family in Sabbath observance. The fifth commandment requires children to respect and submit to their parents. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, Exodus 20, verses 8 through 12. Jesus himself sets an example in this as a child, Luke 2, 51. Later, he fiercely opposed supposed gestures of piety that were really evasions of responsibility towards parents, Mark 7, verses 6 through 13. And his own last act before death was to provide for his mother's future, John 19, verses 25 through 27. The family is to be a community of teaching and learning about God and godliness. Children must be instructed, Proverbs 22, verse 6, and encouraged to use that instruction as a basis for their lives, Proverbs 1, verse 8. Discipline should be used as a means of corrective training to lead children beyond childish folly to self-controlled wisdom, Proverbs 13, verse 24. Just as there is purposeful, loving discipline in God's family, Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 11, so there must be in the human family. The family is meant to function as a spiritual unit. Praise God. Joshua set an example when he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua 24, 15. Households became the units of Christian commitment in New Testament times, Acts 11, 14. The fitness of candidates for church office was assessed by observing whether they led their own family well, Titus 1, 6. Building strong family life is always a priority in serving God. Amen. These are helpful thoughts that enable us to better understand these verses in Ephesians chapter 6. The family is ordained by God. It was instituted by God. God wedded, if you will, brought together Adam and his wife and brought about procreation, the birth of children from this union. And so the family is very dear to God's heart. And we thank God for his clear teaching. I thank God for the helpful comments that I read to you. And God's glorious word is so very helpful, so necessary. It is his own commandment to us, which, if it is obeyed, brings forth blessing. And as we see here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, as children in the Lord obey their parents, because this is the right thing, as they honor their father and mother, which is the commandment from Deuteronomy 5 that children are to honor their parents, their father and mother, then it is that there is a promised blessing that, one, things would be well with them, and two, that they might live long on the earth. Praise God. And we left off last Lord's Day morning having spoken about the authority structure in the family, and that disobedience to authority, or sin, lawlessness, rebellion, a coming out of subordination or insubordination in the family results in disharmony and discord and disorder. Therefore, disobedience leads to this lack of promised blessing. But as always, the good and gracious God, God our Father, who is the Father of all human beings, praise God, has given us clear teaching about how we might find great blessing and happiness and fulfillment and joy and order. Yes, praise God, we are creatures in need of order. Disorder is always a painful circumstance for us. Confusion is a painful situation. We need order, and in order, the blessings and joy which God gives us flourish. And so God is so good as to give us clear teaching about how we may enjoy good order and godliness, and how it is that we can therefore avoid the real difficulties, the painfulness of immorality and indecency in our families. We want to hold to the clear teaching of the Bible in this most important issue of family and child rearing, my friends. And we mentioned last Lord's Day, too, that Christian families are to be characterized by mutual respect, honor, trust, and love one for another. This begins with the head, the husband, when he respects and honors, loves, cares for, meets his God-given duties and responsibilities towards his wife and children, then indeed there is a great help to his family. When the wife respects and honors, submits herself and obeys her husband, praise God, she is contributing to the joy and blessing and good order that the family can enjoy. And when they teach their children to obey the Lord, praise God, to respect them and enjoy the blessings that come from disobedience, when they teach their children to be characteristically honorable and respectful, reverent to them, they are indeed helping their family to Christian joy. Praise God. And we mentioned too, I want to mention this again because this is such a blessing, that we see in the Ten Commandments there in Deuteronomy 5, in the commandment, honor your father and mother, the first commandment with promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth, the truth that God is the Father of all. All men are the offspring of God. Praise God. And this great and glorious Father, the eternal Father, the heavenly Father, gives us in this commandment the truth, the knowledge, the promised blessing that we need, that we might know how we are to relate to Him. God the Father calls men to honor, to respect, to reverence, yes, to worship Him, to love Him, to trust Him, to repent, to turn from our sin and corruptions in His powerful grace, which He expresses to us, which enables us to be obedient to Him, and to simply put, be obedient children honoring our Father. Praise God. Now, wonderfully, if we are saved today, we have learned this most important of lessons. We have learned the lesson of life, if you will. We have come to trust Christ. He is called the Everlasting Father by Isaiah in this very real way. Christ is our Father. He is one with God the Father, fully God. And so Christ has brought us to His Father, God Almighty, His Father. And Christ, by His marvelous grace, by His word, by His teaching, by His Spirit and power, has brought us to understand that it is right, as the offspring of God, that we honor our Father. Praise God. And we have also learned that therein it is well with us. Praise God. And by God's grace, it is well for us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is quite possible in God's providence that as we live obediently lives of honor, reverence, worship, respect, love, and trust in God, that we too may live long on the earth. And so in the commandment, and in the Christian commandment here in Ephesians chapter 6, there is an inherent blessing. There is a blessing that follows obedience. Praise God. As we honor and obey God our Father, things are well with us. And praise God, we may live a very long time on the earth. Praise God. My wife and I talk about this sometimes, and our discussion kind of goes along these lines. Wouldn't it be great to live a long time for the Lord? And then usually in this discussion, one or the other will then take the other position. But it's so difficult to age. Wouldn't it be better to go to be with the Lord sooner? And the position that usually prevails in my heart, though I can see the sense in both of these positions, is that in the long run, it would be much better to live a long time on the earth for the glory of God, so that I might enjoy a much fuller reward later, that eternal blessing. The idea being that obedience is rewarded now and eternally. And so if we live longer, eternally the reward would be greater. Praise God. Well, for sure, we live in a time when many people are living to be very, very old. With our medical advances, with our understanding, our technology, with the helps, with better food in many cases, and perhaps even better water in most places, many places in the world, we find that people are living longer. We know this to be a fact. All of those mercies which have come in God's providence have helped us to better health generally. In fact, I always enjoy reading about the advances in better health in Uganda and the extended life expectancy. People are therefore living longer in Uganda because of these real helps, these things that have come in the mercy of God to help people in life. And so generally, Scripture sees a long life as a blessing from God, as a gift in God's blessing and grace to us, and especially to Christians. Praise God. And so God our Father wonderfully should be honored. God our Father should be respected. He should be reverenced. It is the right thing. Interesting again that in all cultures around the world, we see the understanding in people that it is right that children obey their father. This is something that we know, and it is dishonorable. It is shameful when children disrespect their parents. Though it is true that disrespect is generally a characteristic of non-Christians, of pagans, but Christians are called to be honorable people, seeking for honor and glory and immortality. Praise God, as we turn from sin. Sin brings this disrespect, but obedience brings honor. The Bible is clear about that. And so Christian children here are admonished and commanded by the Spirit to, from their hearts, respect, obey, love their parents. Praise God. To not be rebellious, not be unlawful, to be righteous and to turn from unrighteousness. Amen. Praise God. And so, my friends, we understand too there in verse 4, which says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord," that fathers, the head of the family, are not to provoke their children to wrath, or another sense is, do not discourage them, do not bring them to a point of frustration, do not by your treatment of them, bring them to a point of disobedience. Praise God. And so, fathers are not to be unreasonably severe. They are to love their children. They are not to lack love. They are not to give unrighteous commands. In a simple way of saying, in a common Ugandan expression, they are not to abuse their children. They are to nurture and correct their children. And that's really the main idea here. Fathers, do not provoke or lead your children to sinful anger or wrath by your care for them. In other words, care for them rightly, care for them in a reasonable way, in gentleness, in fatherly gentleness, in righteousness, in love. And so in this way, teach them, nurture them, and lovingly correct them. There is discipline. We must discipline our children lovingly, rightly. And so it is that we bring them up, we raise them up, caring, nurturing them in the training and admonition of the Lord. Praise God. The word training here carries the idea of shaping their will through discipline. In other words, the father is to teach proper discipline. We mentioned last Lord's Day Martin Lloyd-Jones' thoughts about the lack of discipline in families in his time. That's certainly true of today too, of course, perhaps increasingly so. But the father is to shape the child's will. He's to lead the child in discipline, to teach him discipline, and then to train him, encourage him to discipline. Therein the child grows in his understanding and ability to discipline himself. Praise God. A lack of discipline simply leads to disorder. The scripture says that we are to discipline our children. In Proverbs it says to not spare the rod in the Old King James. In other words, don't spare punishment, the proper punishment for your children, because if you do, you are leading them to death. That really means that if you withhold proper punishment, you are encouraging them to disobedience, and the result of disobedience is death. And so you must teach them through corrective, loving means, proper means, not severe means, to do the right thing. In other words, you are teaching them to obey God in this process of training, in this process of disciplining and learning. They're learning to discipline themselves, learning what is right and the consequences. Discipline here involves really the idea of, in nurture, of blessing them for their obedience. That's what God our Father does with us. He blesses our obedience, and He also chastens our disobedience. In other words, there's this element of chastisement, which again is corrective, to teach us, to bring us back to obedience to God. Chastisement is the painful consequence, back to don't spare the rod, this spanking, if you will, by God, which is painful and which leads us to desire to obey God and again receive His blessings in obedience. And so training involves this reward of blessing and also this kindly, loving parental chastisement. Both are necessary. Admonition here in verse 4 carries the idea of shaping the mind through teaching. Praise God. And so the father is not to teach his children to become sinfully angry because they are mistreated by him, but he is to teach them to obey God, to honor God, to love God, to trust God as he teaches them the truth. Now, we understand that the father is biblically responsible to lead his family in the teaching of God. He is to teach his wife about God. He is to teach his children about God. And so the clear responsibility is before us. The father is to really be, in a sense, the priest, the shepherd, the spiritual leader, the shepherd in his home. And he is to train and he is to admonish in this sense. Now, let me just share with you again a helpful thought here. Fathers, as you in your authority direct your wife, so it is that you in your God-given authority as Christian fathers are entrusted with the mind, the feelings, and the bodies of tender bearers of the divine image. Praise God. Now, many of us have had children when we were perhaps very young in life. I had the blessing of receiving my daughter when I was in my early 20s. And I remember, I wasn't a Christian at the time, that I had a lot of fear about this awful responsibility. I recognized that I had a child now that I needed to and I should treat correctly. But as a non-Christian at the time, I was a bit confused about how to do that. Do you spank or do you not spank? Do you discipline or not discipline? Are they really just small adults or are they children that must be guided? Many of those issues were not clear in my mind. In fact, I was a bit confused about all of that. And so to be a father seemed to me to be a very daunting and very difficult task. And I didn't do very well with it, by the way, at the time. But as a Christian, I have come to understand the truth of the Bible and to see that children and even spiritual children that have come about through my ministry are to be cared for, loved carefully with great respect and due regard to their minds, feelings, and bodies. Praise God. And so I must, in this way, love my children and love my spiritual children and simply put, help them and nurture them in life. And in a sense, in the ministry, I am called to, as a minister, as a spiritual father, in a sense, to train and to admonish others also. That's part of my ministry in these sermons that I am blessed to bring to you on Sunday mornings. Praise God. You see, this is a father's duty. This is a father's work. And it is a blessed work. When I was an unbelieving father, I didn't understand that it was my responsibility to make sacrifice for the welfare of my children. I was actually quite selfish then as an unbeliever. But the Bible is clear in 2 Corinthians 12:4 that I am to see that parents exist for the children. Children do not exist for the benefit of the parent exactly. We are made parents to care for our children. And so that's a very important understanding. Perhaps you're a young Christian parent now, and you see this great responsibility before you to mold your child correctly, to love and care for your child, to not mess them up, if you will. And so let me offer this word of encouragement to you. God has given you children, and God equips you and enables you to parent because your role is to care for them. They were not created to nurture and care for you, just to benefit you. And so once we see that work, important work that it is, most important duty towards our children, then we understand that it is the nature of a parent that he is to care for his children. Now, marvelously, 1 Timothy 5:4 tells us that as children grow to maturity, to youth, and then to adulthood, that they are to justly return good to their parents. And I want to end this sermon today with the idea that it is really right. It is a blessing. It is good for children, even adult children, for our offspring to care for us, especially as we age, to care for their parents and to return much good to their parents. Let's just read this verse very quickly. And I'm mentioning this because I have become aware that this is at times a problem in Africa, and I want to try to help with this very specific problem. Let's read here, beginning in verse 3, 1 Timothy 5:3. Honor widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Praise the Lord. And so, in context, the church was to care for certain widows, but the idea here in verse 4 is that if a widow has children or grandchildren, that they must practice a love for God in this most important way. They must do good to their parents, to the widow. This is good and acceptable before God. In fact, it carries the idea that they must provide of their resources for their parents. That's a general principle. Christian children, when able to, are to return good, yes, provide for their aged parents. And particularly here, the widow who doesn't have a husband, who is in this sense afflicted, is to be cared for by her children when they are able to. Now, again, that's simply a loving action, isn't it? And the great God, the eternal Father, the everlasting Father, God our Father, the Blessed Spirit, our Father, is such a great God, the God who is love, who requires of us that we love and care for others. And so this love and care is to really begin at home. And so young people, don't disobey God and neglect to care for your aged parents. Let it be a great and primary responsibility in your heart, a godly duty to care for your aged mother and father. Praise God. When Jesus was crucified, he said to John, in his continuing care and love for his mother, that John was to now become the son and take care of Mary, his mother. Jesus was an obedient, dutiful son. He took his responsibility. He cared for Mary. But now at his death, he was leaving the world, and he tells John to take his place and begin to look after and care for his mother. And so young Christians, care for your parents. Don't neglect to provide for them. Praise God. Well, our time is gone. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you again for the clear teaching of the Bible. Oh God, our Father, you are a great and gracious Father, merciful and kind and powerful and just, awesome and glorious, holy and good. God, you judge evil. You put it away righteously. How great you are. Praise you forever, Lord. And we thank you for the word. So use this teaching today, especially use your word and bring grace into the hearts of many people. And we pray that the result will be Christian love and obedience, children to their parents. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.